We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Welcome. Wait, am I starting this one? Or are you starting this one?
I reckon you should. I reckon you should go for it. You took the initiative and I feel you deserve it.
All right. Welcome to Scream Queens.
No.
Yeah, look, I retract my previous statement. Maybe I should start this one.
Got nervous.
No, you go. You've got this.
All right.
Welcome to Scream Queens.
That's right. We can fix that in post.
Okay.
Can speed it up.
Slow down the first one and then speed up the second one and see which one you prefer.
This is a podcast where two comedians watch, review and gossip about everything on your screens. My name is Alex J. I am a writer, podcast producer and comedian.
I am Beck Charlwood, the Big Beck. Are we dropping the Big Beck?
I like the Big Beck. It's up to you. You're the Big Beck.
That's so true.
It's up to you.
Well, I am the Big Beck. Nothing but the Big Beck.
Nothing but. How are you, my love?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. This is our Monday ep. This is our screen gossip episode.
Yes.
A little bit on the agenda for today. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Beyoncé's new album.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about Lizzo quitting but not quitting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also be talking about the new trailer that has dropped for the movie called Unfrosted. But before we get into everything, I just want to do a quick follow-up shout-out from last week's episode. We did speak about Rebel Wilson's new memoir coming out.
Yes, Rebel Rising.
Rebel Rising.
It turns out Rebel Fallen off the bookshelves.
That's it. Yeah, as of yesterday, all copies have been taken from the bookshelves and all pre-orders have been refunded. And the publisher has simply come out and said, we are not going forward with publishing this book at this time.
Whoa.
More to come, essentially.
Holy shit. I mean,
I reckon Sasha's got his lawyers lawyered the fuck up.
Yeah. And also she went in on Fat Pizza too.
Did she?
Yeah. Allege.
Allege.
I mean, I didn't read into it too much.
Okay.
Because it just kind of makes me sad.
Yeah.
Like, for someone that's done so well and started on, I mean, Fat Pizza and Houses, like, it is really cool to see. And it's just a bummer that it's like,
not a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I reckon Sasha's really come out hard with this. And imagine being able to pull an entire publication from shelves. And to refund pre-orders implies, obviously, it's not going to come out for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So watch this space.
We'll see. TBA.
TBA.
Oh, speaking of screens, I can say this on the pod because I was allowed to post about it on social media, is that to our US listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to post clips on socials so you ever see it, but I'm going to be on The Bachelorette USA as a comedian.
Not as The Bachelorette.
Not as The Bachelorette. Skip is still around and we love him deeply. I'm going to be on The Bachelorette USA. They're doing a date where they go to a comedy club. They're filming in Melbourne at the moment.
So freaking cool, my dude.
Yes.
Our screen queen will be on the screen.
Yes. I'm not sure when it's coming out, but everyone will be made very aware. And
maybe we'll review the episode for Screen Queens.
Maybe. And that's all I'm legally allowed to say. Cool. End of story.
End of story. Moving on. Nothing to see here.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Where do we want to start today?
Let's start with Lizzo.
Yes.
So Lizzo has had a tough time the last year.
She sure has.
When allegations came out of her fat shaming and
bullying
on her team, which, by the way, have not ended in any legal proceeding like whatsoever.
It has.
It has?
Yeah, it's still ongoing.
Oh.
So the judge has basically like looked at all of the allegations and the judge has said these allegations don't count, these allegations do, and we're going forward with a court case about the ones that do.
Oh, which ones
do? So he threw out the fat shaming allegations. They're not in the court case, but ruled that the remainder of the case could go forward.
Okay.
So that's where they're at the moment. It's now in that limbo stage where judges said, yep, this is a court case, and they're just waiting to find out when that will be. So it is very much still going on.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, her comment section has been nothing but people being like, speak out. And it's a legal proceeding. It's like she can't talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And she still is Lizzo. She still has to keep putting out music and her brand and staying relevant and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she still has to like exist as a person.
Yeah.
And so she's been copping a lot of backlash on top of also all of the awful comments she constantly gets about her body.
General living as Lizzo comments and bullying that she just gets. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So she last week posted a status. Basically, it was like a thing of being like, I'm sick of all the hate. I'm sick of all the bullying. And then the last line of it is, I quit.
In big letters.
Big letters.
Bigger than the other letters.
Yeah. So everyone thinks.
She's quit.
She's quit. Like being a person in the public eye,
yep.
Music, all of that.
Mm. But then, a few days later,
yes.
She came out and she was like, actually, no, guys, that's not what I meant.
What I meant. Obviously, when I said I quit, I didn't mean that I quit. I quit a specific thing that I didn't include in the post.
Yeah, the specific thing is more of a concept.
Yeah, what is she actually quitting?
I think she's basically quitting the negativity or like caring about the negativity. And look, okay, we've all made some grand statement that we've had to walk back eventually.
Yes, I'm familiar with the concept. Said many things on this podcast that I have gone back on already, and we're only, what, I think 10 episodes in.
I do it at home a lot. Yeah. I love a grand statement at home. This needs to be done, or we should do this. Mm. And then when the time comes, I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. It was just more conceptual. Stop it. Stop with the receipts. So I what do you think happened here?
I think that she did like hit a point mentally. Like I can imagine it's been really hard for her, even though she is very rich and very successful. And she is very active online. It's very evident that she is the one in charge of her own social media.
Yeah.
So she would be seeing all of this shit constantly.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's taken a big toll and you would feel like, fine, I just give up.
Yeah.
But you are more than someone on social media. You have so many other, she's so much of a bigger thing than that.
Than Instagram.
Yeah, she's like a globally recognized celebrity.
Mm.
It's like, you're going to be specific.
Yeah, you really like, I wonder how many hands that went through before it was posted. Was this proofread? I have to think that it was because, like you said, she is a global celebrity. Yeah. I do believe that she runs her own Instagram, but I don't think she's just popping that up without asking for anyone's feedback in terms of her PR team.
I mean, maybe she did though. Like maybe because she just posts like whatever she wants like all the time, like particularly on TikTok. She'll just stitch people like being like, shut up, you're an idiot.
Okay.
Like, so I'm like, maybe she did just post this and then her PR team was like, no.
Liz.
But then was it a PR move?
That's what I think it is.
I think if we hear about a new album in the next little bit,
yeah,
I think we'll know.
I think it was a PR move because the only press she's gotten in the last 6 to 8 months has been around the allegations in the court case, which are like so serious. Like there's sexual harassment allegations in there as well. They're the ones going forward. So it's really serious stuff. And that's the kind of only press coverage she's had for a really long time is negative press coverage. So I'd pay it hard if this is a PR move because what a way to suddenly almost be this is going to sound problematic, but become a victim yourself in this storyline.
Yes.
And turn the tables so that people start literally, like she had 3 days of people begging her not to quit music.
Yeah.
Begging her. So she suddenly turned it so that she's a hero now.
Yeah.
Which I think is an excellent PR move. It's just all about optics. And I think that's what she's done.
I think, it's common now as well because there's a bunch of YouTubers recently.
Right.
It's been like a recorded thing of heaps of them being like, sorry, everyone, but I quit. And then they're not actually quitting. They're just doing something different with their channel. It's like they're pivoting.
Yeah. But you can't say, okay, everyone, I pivot.
Yeah.
It's not very exciting.
Like it's like people go, no, oh my God, please stay, please. And then you're like, well, I actually am staying. Like, oh, thank God.
Thank God. And then you get the yay and the celebration. And then all of a sudden, like, it's just all very positive PR around her at the moment.
Yeah. It's very much like toxic, like, partner who's like, I'm breaking up with you. And it's like, you just need, it's like, instead of having conversation, be like, I need something else from you. You're like, breaking out with you. I was like, I love you so much. Like, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah. You're just like, okay. Wow.
All right.
That's what this relationship hinges on. Okay.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Which I'm like disappointed because I'm like, you're fucking Lizzo.
Yeah. If it is a PM over, I'm disappointed. I pay it again, but I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I'm like, there's a better one. You don't need to do this.
Yeah. There's a better one.
Yeah.
Than fishing.
It did reek of fishing. And that sounds somehow misogynistic. That's not how I meant it.
I think all things can somehow sound misogynistic.
In many ways. But it reeks of fishing for a compliment.
Fishing for a compliment, yeah.
Thank you.
It'll be interesting. You're right. It'll be interesting to see if she announces anything soon, like a new album.
Mm. Which I would love, honestly. I loved the last album. It was really good.
Yeah,
I
love a new
album. I mean, I've loved all of her albums. What am I talking about? They're from great. Speaking of new albums, though.
Yes, yes, yes.
This ain't Texas. Woo! Ain't no hold 'em. I can't stop singing it.
Down, 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 down.
Cowboy Carter was released by Beyonce. Act 2, Cowboy Carter, Part 2 of Renaissance. Mm. Even though it's not called Part 2 of Renaissance, which I'm glad because I'm sick of things being in two parts.
Agreed.
And it has taken the world by storm.
Speaking of pivots.
Yes.
Beyonce, country singer.
Yeah. Which she already, so this album, it's been very clearly documented, was in response to when she performed her song Daddy Lessons from Lemonade at the CMAs in 2016.
With the Chicks?
With the Dixie Chicks.
I think they're just the Chicks now.
Yes.
Mm. But I don't know why.
Oh, because of the 2003 Iraq War controversy. Do you know about this?
No, I don't.
Okay, so it was. I think this is why also her...
I was not conscious in 2003. I had not come into consciousness yet.
Well, as a seven-year-old, I was very aware of the lay of the land. Mm. I particularly was a big fan of George Bush, so when I heard about this, I was very upset. You best believe I was throwing my sippy cup on the ground saying, she said, what?
George W?
My president? I mean, come on, I was seven. I didn't know. I didn't know who his president was what. Silly, silly. So I think a big reason that people had a lot to say about her CMA performances is because the Dixie Chicks, now known as the Chicks, were one of the most hated bands, I think, in all of history. Like in the last 20 years, yeah. So in the late 90s, On the Rise, absolutely adored. It was like very much like alongside Shania Twain of like, wow, country goes pop. This is awesome. Look at these cool, powerful women.
Yeah.
And I mean, excellent music. And then at a concert in London in 2003, one of the members said just like ad hoc being like, we're really disappointed in our president for going to war with Iraq. And it was just like a flippant, like one sentence comment.
I'm still waiting to hear where the problem is.
Yeah, we'll see. This is the thing.
I don't see anything wrong with that statement.
This was only 2 years post 9/11. So patriotism was at an all-time high.
Yeah.
And so everyone immediately was like, fuck these bitches.
Oh, no.
Fuck them. And people were like, they got, I think, like fired from their label. All of their songs just disappeared from the charts. People were burning their CDs.
Holy, America needs to chill the fuck out.
It was
crazy. That's embarrassing. Could you imagine if an Australian artist came out and said, not my prime minister?
Yeah. I mean, you can like, listen to every third track that plays on Triple J, babe. But like,
we'd be like, yay, we love them.
We're like, yeah, fuck the government.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they like, and they were getting like death threats and like, so they had to just like stop being a band for many years, just like for their own safety.
Jesus Christ.
Because people were so angry with them.
Oh my God.
And then like years and years later, they came out as the Chicks again because they were like, we can't continue as the Dixie Chicks. Because
right.
It literally would just tarnish everything that we
do. See, I assume Dixie was a slur of some kind accidentally.
No. I mean, it might be. Who knows? That might have been a really, the perfect time to make a change.
Great timing.
You know?
Great time. Another pivot.
Yes. So, yeah, Beyonce and the Chicks performing 2016. Mm. And a bunch of people in the country industry were like, this is not country. Beyonce is like not welcome here. And it's an excellent song.
It's such a fucking love Daddy Lessons.
Yes.
Such a great jam.
And it's so clearly country.
Of course it's country. She grew up in Texas.
Yes.
Beyonce is from Texas. She's not like from Seattle.
She knows.
She grew up in Texas. This is in her blood.
Yeah.
Country.
So anyway.
And sorry, country music was stolen from black people originally. Anyway, so she has just as much right to be in the country space as anyone else.
But this is like a recurring issue with country music is
they
don't like people of color and women particularly are heavily scrutinized in the country music scene.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've seen it with Shania was the same, Taylor Swift. And like now like Kacey Musgraves is like there's finally been like a bit of a crossover and she's doing like her own thing and country and she's kind of accepted by the country, like Nashville in particular, is like very clicky and like a very, the heart of country music.
Of course.
So I think it's quite bitchy.
Scary.
Yeah.
Tamworth would never.
Yes. No.
I mean, maybe they do. I don't know much
about
it. Lee
Kernaghan could never. So this album, she very clearly came out and was like, this is in response to feeling unwelcome in that space.
The power.
Yeah. And it was a really nice fuck you. The greatest things in the world are achieved through spite. And I think that's the main message I want to tell my kids when I tuck them in at night.
Hey, a lot of my career is spurred by spite.
Oh my, everyone's is.
All kinds of spite.
When I found out that Hamish and Andy were determined, the huge reason for their success is they were determined to beat Will Anderson in breakfast radio ratings because he said some shitty stuff about him.
And look at them now.
Look at them. The most delightful dudes ever. So funny,
but the
so
most
talented.
Successful radio personalities in the
Australia,
country.
Yes.
Ever.
Hands down.
All from spite.
All from being like, fuck you, Will Anderson. Who's also a great talent too. Yeah. Like,
I would claim that if I was him.
Yeah.
I made Hamish and Andy what they were. So, yeah, so she, you're right. She's just come out and she's like, I'm in this space. I'm literally the most famous musician apart from Taylor Swift in the world. Mm. I'm here. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And my fans will support me in that.
Yeah.
And we have.
Boy, do I. This album is dense.
Yeah, so I didn't get through listening to all of
that,
to be honest.
There's 26 tracks.
In my head, I'm like, oh, we'll do a 10-track pop. I haven't looked at an album, I guess, in a few years.
No,
but we're up to 26 songs now.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was long. And to be fair, like, there's a couple, like, spoken wordy things on there that are only, like, 30 seconds. There's a lot.
Right, okay.
Of, like, I feel this album was engineered to be seen live.
Huh. Like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, for example, the song.
Oh, my gosh. I want to see a Beyonce entire country concert.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh,
it's,
my fucking God.
I don't have it confirmed, but it's, like, after the success of Renaissance. And there was just so many parts of this where I was, like, this almost feels at points like it was recorded live, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, there's one song on there, Ya Ya, which is like.
I didn't listen to that one.
That's all right. It's like number 20, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get up to it.
It's very much like Who Run the World Girls, but like country of just like.
Oh,
a lot of like call and response and.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite from the album?
Oh my God, I have. Okay. Top ones. I love Levi's jeans.
Okay.
With Post Malone.
Great. He's everywhere.
He's
Look
absolutely
at him go.
Everywhere. I wouldn't, if you, on the bingo card for 2024, Post Malone fitting seamlessly into Beyonce's country album, wouldn't have been on there, believe it or not. Would not have been on there. I also love the duet with Miley, Two Most Wanted.
Oh, yes, I have heard that. That is fantastic.
Oh.
Actually, I think that might be my favorite from the album.
Yeah.
Their two voices together, like, I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but it is just like it was made from the hands of God. Like,
yes.
It is from sent to us from heaven. The way that Miley's throatiness comes through and then Beyonce takes the high, and then sometimes Beyonce takes the low notes and Miley takes the high notes.
Yeah.
Oh, the harmony is gorgeous.
So pretty. And, I mean, Texas Hold'em is such a fantastic song.
Mm. perfect one to open with because that was the first one she released, wasn't it?
Yes.
And yeah, 16 Carriages.
Yes.
During the Super Bowl.
Yes. So nuts. I mean, like, just there's so many fun parts of it to, like, sing along.
Yeah. This ain't Texas. Yeah. It's an earworm.
Like Alexis, throw your keys up. And just, like, the repetition at the end of, like, every chorus line. Mm. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you.
Your money, too.
Well, no, take it to the floor now. Oh, that's a fun part. Well, she is so good at making, like, sexy noises that aren't pornographic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And she's excellent at a breakdown like that.
Yes. Yeah. There's a point in another song. It's like, towards the end, it's called, like, Sweet Honey something, where she's just, like, being like, bounce on that shit. Bounce on that. And I'm like, okay. Fine. I'll go fuck someone, Beyonce.
I'll go bounce on someone.
Jesus.
What'd you think of Jolene?
Loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Loved it. It's a beautiful reimagining. And also, like, it's cool to have a mainstream cover of a, like, older popular song. Mm. That's not fucking shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But when Niall Horan and Anne-Marie covered fucking... I think it's like one of the Fleetwood Mac songs. Oh, yeah, they covered Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac. And I was like, stop. That did not need a pop version.
Yeah, cool. Gotcha.
That's one of the greatest songs of all time that still charts very regularly. That's how great it is.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. We didn't need people with zero chemistry to make that. And I'd say it to their fucking faces. Because you're both talented musicians and you're better than that. Sorry.
Listen. She knows what she's talking about. She's a radio presenter.
Thank you.
I loved...
what were your favorites?
I love the other cover at Blackbird.
Yes.
Oh, how beautiful. I just had it playing and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, Blackbird singing in the dead of night. I love Beyoncé's soul voice, of course, and I think that really came through on that.
Yeah.
I think it's so smart to do a couple of covers in your first foray into a new genre.
Yeah.
So smart. Yeah. And to have Dolly Parton's fucking blessing.
Yes. So cute.
And she posted about it the other day.
Yes. I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fascinated by the documentary that comes out.
Which
when
documentary?
She passes.
Oh.
There just will be.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
there's a one in the works, but I'm like.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, even like, I just remember specifically Jane Fonda being like, I have been a friend for 40 years. I've never seen her without makeup.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. What a fascinating woman.
Yeah. Any other highlights from the album?
Look, I had to switch off. I think I was a bit overwhelmed sensorially.
Mm.
American Requiem was a lot.
Yeah. I will say I love it. If a first track.
Whew, on a concept, like new genre album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I was like, that could have been further down.
Yeah, I agree.
I think opening with something, this is the thing. I think when she plays it live, Yaya is going to be the first track. Because it's very much like, at the start, she's like, welcome to, she says something about like this country music show or whatever.
Okay.
Yes.
You're right. This has been formatted for a show, which, fuck yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Because then the show will be made into a movie. The concert will be a movie. She'll probably make a documentary about the concert.
And that's the one we
want. That's the one we want.
Yes.
Not J-Lo's.
Yeah.
Oh, even though we love you, Jennifer. Not in the way she wants us to.
We love that for you.
Yeah, we love it for you.
In that tone specifically. I love that for you, J-Lo. I love that for you.
Proud of you. So what I would like to see, if she does do a concert, I imagine there'll be some songs chucked in there, not on album.
Mm.
There'll be some cameos potentially of other famous country music artists doing duets with her. Like, because I love a country concert. I love a country music concert.
You're a big Garth Brooks fan. Oh, sorry.
My boy. No, thank you for validating. Garth Brooks is my boy. He's a fantastic performer. He's like the biggest country music singer performer ever. Mm. So my absolute dream is to see Garth Brooks and Beyonce collab. Or a cover of a Garth Brooks song from Beyonce.
Oh, my God.
So if you're listening, B, I think that's where you should take this.
Which song specifically? Tell her because she's listening.
Okay. I would love her to, Shameless. There's a song called Shameless. Ooh. I think she would absolutely nail it. And if she wants to go a bit more fun, uh-huh. Friends in Low Places, of course. I think she could make that real Beyonce.
Yes. Oh, okay. Exquisite picks. I can really see her on Friends in Low Places.
Thank you so much.
Only because I don't know the other song.
Yeah, of course. I would not expect you to. Or she could go around in Keating and cover If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Oh, I don't know that one.
So it's the song that kind of made Ronan Keating famous.
Yeah.
And it was a cover of a Garth Brooks song. If tomorrow never comes.
Oh, yes, that song. Will she
know how much I loved her?
That is one of my secret, like, passions is finding out hugely popular pop songs are actually covers.
Torn.
Right? That was top of my mind.
That's number one. That's right? Crazy.
Nothing Compares to You. Cover. Prince song originally.
What?
Yeah.
Nuts.
Finally.
Unfrosted.
Yes, this trailer dropped this week. It's a Netflix movie directed by Jerry Seinfeld. I think this is his... He's done a little directing before.
I feel like he was big in the B-movie. I know he was in it, but I think he either wrote it or directed it.
He might as well have
something.
Directed it.
Yeah. So he's around.
Yeah.
He's still around. In the zeitgeist.
This is the thing. It's like he hasn't done anything majorly problematic.
So the main thing about Seinfeld is that this happened decades ago, but people have just in the last few years realized it's problematic, is that when he was 30, he was dating a 17-year-old.
Yes.
30 at the height of his prime.
Of
his fame. Actually, no, I think Seinfeld was big when they were in their mid-30s, but he was still a famous man.
Still, a man in his 30s regardless.
Regardless.
Should never date a 17-year-old.
Power dynamic for one, age for two. She was literally 17. She's a baby.
I just cannot wrap my fucking head around I'm 30 now. I could not wrap my head around. It's like this. I'm sure there's lovely 17-year-olds.
Can you imagine?
I don't want to spend enough time with them to find out.
What would you possibly talk about?
Even the coolest 17-year-old, I'm like, cool, I don't want to fuck you. You're a child.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Anyway.
Imagine if you brought, like, if God forbid you and Skip broke up. I can only think it's because of a complete psychotic break, because then date a 17-year-old directly after. Imagine if you brought that 17-year-old to fucking dinner. No.
With you and Luke?
It just wouldn't happen.
You'd have to be like, and how's school? He's like, I don't really care about school. I'm going to play the drums.
So that's the Seinfeld problematicness. He skated through it for many decades, and just in the last few years, everyone's been like, hang on a second, Jerome.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, and also, I've never liked him since his Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with John Mulaney, where John Mulaney was, in hindsight, being very nice about his wife and just being like, they went to go pick up a rug for her. And he's like, why are you letting your wife push you around? He's like, she's my wife. I love her. I want to go get this rug for her.
And like, this is her forte. She's a designer.
Yeah.
This is, obviously, she's going to be the one to choose the rug.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Jerry's like, you let her kick you around like that? I was like,
Jerry copped a lot of backlash for that.
Yeah, he looked like a fucking asshole.
And then there was also the Ellen episode. This was before she was,
yeah.
This is back when she was still liked. And he made her very uncomfortable. He made a lot of like gay jokes and shit, and you could tell she was uncomfortable. And then it's the whole thing of like, my God, these are the moments that made the cut. What were the other moments like?
Yeah, fuck.
And that was around the time of the Mulaney episode as well. So he kind of fell out of favor for a little while. Because he's a rich white dude who since day one has been told that everything he says is amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And he's like in his 60s now.
Yeah. So he's still kicking around.
I'm fascinated by this movie because it has an all-star cast of comedians.
Shall we watch the trailer?
Oh, yeah. God damn.
All right. Okay. We just watched the trailer.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. You were not kidding when you said all-star cast.
Yeah.
So they've got literally every famous person. I mean, it's Jerry. If Jerry Seinfeld calls. and asked you if you want to be in a movie. Unlike J-Lo, who said yes.
Yes, the opposite rules apply. Yeah. So it's Jerry Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Amy Schumer, playing her, I'm assuming, husband, Max Greenfield.
Wow.
Who, if you don't know, is one of the most beloved TV characters of all time. Schmidt from You Girl. I love seeing him in another comedy role.
He's very, very funny, man.
Hugh Grant, James Marsden, Bill Burr. Oh, my God. Maria Bakalova from Borat 2 is going to be in it.
No.
Dude.
Christian Slater, Dan Levy, Jim Gaffigan, Jack McBrayer, Tom Lennon, Bobby Moynihan.
Oh, my God.
This is insane, dude.
This is nuts.
Oh, Sarah Cooper, the TikTok lady.
Oh, go girl.
Okay.
Get it.
What's your anticipation levels like?
I'm just excited to see like that many comedians on screen at once. Particularly, I think he's done a really smart thing of putting Melissa McCarthy with him because she is just... on all accounts, an absolute angel.
Yeah.
Like, personally and professionally.
Yes.
And
she's so funny. She adds some real positivity to it, like some gravitas of like, oh, this is a good one.
Yeah.
And this, I imagine the set was nice to work on.
Yes. Yeah. So as a comedian, I'm really excited for it.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of backlash online because of Schumer starring in it. There's been a lot of contention lately because she's very much like a big Zionist and she's been posting a lot of fuck shit online. So interesting to see her in the lead. I wonder if that will affect reception, box office or anything like that. But maybe there's enough other people in there for people to watch if they don't want to watch Schumer.
I mean, even before the Zionist stuff, it's like she always cops backlash.
She's fallen out of favor a lot.
She's like the Taylor Swift of comedy of like, it's like, of course there's points where it's like she should, you know, criticism is due. Mm. But a lot of time it's like, she's not funny. And it's like, well, she is.
She's the poster girl of people saying, we're not funny. Yeah. Look at Amy Schumer. I'm like, I don't know.
Have you actually watched any of it? Like, have you actually watched, like, some of the stuff isn't good, but a lot of it's fucking amazing. I rewatched Trainwreck the other day.
Oh, great
it's
film.
It's fucking great. She's so great funny. Film.
And do you know what? I did watch Life of Beth, the first season. Didn't mind it.
Oh, yeah.
Not the amazing.
Yes.
But I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to all of those people.
Mm.
Jerry's hair is quite full, I have to say.
Yes.
I wonder if there's been some plugs there.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's been rocking the shaved head for quite some time.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's a wig.
Old man style.
Maybe it's a wig.
Probably a wig, but he's looking good.
Yeah. Healthy. So, that comes out next...
May. Yeah, May 5.
I'll give it a watch for the pod.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Before, do you have anything else to say?
Mm-mm.
Okay, before we wrap up, I have to give a shout out to the best thing I've ever seen on the fucking internet this week.
Ooh, exciting.
It's been a while since I've done a small screen recommendation.
Yes.
There is a new series on Instagram, and I'm sure it's on YouTube as well. I haven't checked. You can look it up. It's called Boy Room.
Okay.
And what it is, it's this comedian, New York comedian, Rachel Costa, who goes around to boys' rooms in share houses in New York.
Just randoms?
I think they're friends of hers.
Sure.
And she goes in and just, like, looks at them and then has, like, style suggestions for them.
Oh, I love it.
And it is both so upsetting and so funny.
Yeah.
I am starting to realize that I am, like, a very passionate person about home design and how things run.
Me too.
In a house.
I pride myself on it, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to realize that a lot of boys just don't ever think that have any control over anything in your house.
And they just exist in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just let the house run you in many ways.
That sounds, terrifying, but very validating.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And it also makes me feel better because I have a younger boyfriend.
Sure.
And we've come so far.
So far.
We've come so far from where we were when he moved in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of him. But there's still a couple of things that get me.
Of course. Of course.
And so this is great to see, you know, a lot of examples of where we started.
Of where how much worse it could be.
Yes. Yes.
Really makes you appreciate what you've got.
For example, a boy who sleeps on a futon that he doesn't fold out. And there's no curtains in the room.
Why do people want to live like that?
Yeah.
Just in discomfort all the time.
I'm like, what happens to these people? Like, this is how you have a weird uncle. Like, this is why you never go to your uncle, single uncle's house for Christmas.
Yes.
But highly recommend. It's great. She's super funny.
Boy room. Great. We'll link it in the show notes.
Hell yeah.
Well. We love you guys so much.
We love you.
And we'll see you on Wednesday for Roadhouse with Alexi Toliopoulos.
Ooh, can't wait. Bye.